This is the Red Fox Roto Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's Saturday, May 16th, which means another Fab Preview episode where I highlight some of the best options for saves on the waiver wire. Now, as usual, any ownership percentages are from the NFBC's 12-team online championship contest, which I think is a reasonable proxy for a typical competitive league of a similar size. So ownership percentages on other platforms will vary, and of course, league size matters. Now, I'm not spending time today on the typical news and notes. I'm going to cover available closers and saves in a different way so that I can touch on a lot of different names for you all this week. What I'll do is go through the MLB saves leaders from the top on down. I'll name any pitcher who isn't 100% rostered, and then I'll give my take on whether they should be a target this weekend. Surprisingly, the pitcher with the most saves who isn't 100% rostered in OCs is Sir Anthony Dominguez of the White Sox. Now, to be fair, he's 99% rostered, so I would hope whoever dropped him already had two or three other closers and was pressed for a roster spot. Now, Dominguez has 10 saves, which is tied for fifth most in baseball, and he's been what we should have expected of him. 4.08 ERA, 1.25 whip, more strikeouts than innings, but too many walks. Still, he has security in his role unless he truly collapses with multiple blown saves in a short time. So he needs to be 100% owned, and I'm sure he will be again after this weekend. Now, our next pitcher under 100% is Emilio Pagan of the Reds at 61% rostered. This one's more obvious. Pagan is on the IL with a hamstring strain. His timetable was 4 to 8 weeks, but that's now down closer to 2.5 to 6.5 weeks. So should we look to add him this weekend? I mean, it depends entirely on your team context. If you're secure at other positions, you need saves, of course, and you don't have any other injury stashes, and you can hold Pagan for several more weeks, maybe even up to a month and a half, then he could make sense, but not many teams are going to fit all those criteria. Still, if you're looking at Pagan, this is going to be the fab period where he will cost the least. The Reds' bullpen has been awful of late. Tony Santillan is 41% owned. Graham Ashcraft is at 33%. Both have had rough outings recently. Those are the two guys who could have taken over the closer role rather than share it, but neither has stepped up. Pagan himself was not off to a great start, but that job should be his when he's back in light of how bad this bullpen is performing right now. I don't want to roster anybody in Cincinnati's bullpen at the moment. You know, we also see Pierce Johnson at 50% rostered. I'd cut him. Ashcraft is probably still the best bet there, but I don't think he's a good bet. The next up on our list is Trevor McGill in Milwaukee. McGill is 71% rostered. So a lot of fantasy players have been patient and held on to him while Abner Uribe has been serving as the Brewers' closer. But last night, Uribe pitched the eighth, and McGill got the ninth for a save. So a question came up in the FTN Discord about that situation, and this is pretty much what I had to say about it. It doesn't necessarily spell Uribe's demise. He was brought in to face the 1-2-3 hitters. But my stance when the switch first happened from McGill to Uribe was that Pat Murphy had a preference for McGill to have the ninth inning and leave Uribe for those high leverage moments like we saw last night. But as long as Uribe kept putting up zeros and closing games, the switch back wasn't likely to happen. But Uribe's blown save 3 nights ago may have been that excuse Murphy needed to swap them back, at least for a night. And it worked last night, which means it could happen again. So I've held Trevor McGill in a few places. I'll have him in bid queues this weekend in leagues where he's available to me. How much he costs, of course, will depend on what happens over these next 2 days. Whether McGill gets another save or we see some other sign that the roles have indeed switched again. I'm not making that call after one game. given the circumstances in which Uribe was used against the top of the order. So my lean, based on everything we know at this moment, is that McGill is slightly more spec than possibly the closer again, but he's much closer to the ninth inning now than he was even just a few days ago. I think Trevor McGill should be more highly rostered, even if he doesn't make sense on your team specifically. He's got to make sense on somebody's team in most leagues with 12 teams or more that count saves. Now, next on our list is Gregory Soto of the Pirates. 99% rostered, so not widely available, though that number could be lower on other sites, so check it out. But Soto needs to be owned right now. He blew a save last night, that's true, but Dennis Santana followed that up by allowing four runs in the 10th inning. So I don't think the pendulum swings away from Soto at all just because of last night. He's taken the price.
It's back on.
Yep. Quick internet dropout there, but we're back. I hate that this keeps happening to my computers. All right. So we've reached the point on the saves leaderboard where very few pitchers are 100% rostered anymore. The only pitcher below Tanner Scott and Uribe at four saves is Daniel Palencia at three. So I'll run through, quick as I can, the names I think are relevant to us this weekend and those who should be dropped if they're still on teams. So we've got Robert Suarez of the Braves at 95% owned. Raisel Iglesias is the full-time closer in Atlanta. Suarez is the clear backup, but that's all he is. So the necessity to add or drop him is entirely based on your team context. We've got Gus Varland in Washington. He's at 89% rostered. Varland was pulled from a save chance with two outs last night. And Andrew Alvarez started the ninth, so Varland wasn't even the first pitcher of the inning. He walked Leody Taveras, he struck out Kobe Mayo, he gave up a sac fly to Jeremiah Jackson, and then Richard Lovelady was brought in to face the lefty Gunnar Henderson. So with usage like this, and Clayton Beter due back maybe within the next week or two, Gus Varland may actually be dropped in more leagues than he's added, and that's probably the right move to make. I see Victor Vodnik of the Rockies is next at 49% rostered. No. Drop him. He doesn't even have a save since April 26th, and he's done nothing but destroy ratio since. Why is he still on half of teams? Just cut him. Brian King in Houston is at 43%. This is less about Brian King and more about Josh Hader. He's made four rehab appearances. Hader has struck out six in four scoreless innings. He's coming soon. So if you're adding Brian King, you're hoping for one more save next week. You may not even get that. Those who don't need saves could drop King proactively this weekend, since you'll likely be cutting him next weekend anyway. All right, next on the list, we have Edwin Diaz of the Dodgers. He's still on 34% of teams, despite being out for at least several more months after elbow surgery. But now there's reports he was involved in cockfighting in Puerto Rico, which are roosters, not the other thing. Either way, though, bad news. Drop him. Edwin Diaz, you can drop him. If he even throws another pitch this season, it won't come for a long time. All right, next up is Joel Kunal in Sacramento. He's on 22% of teams. His last save was April 20th. He's not the ace closer. He can be cut. Sia on the Orioles, 93% rostered. Those last 7% of leagues have to add Garcia. He's getting the most save chances for the O's with Ryan Helsley on the IL. He's having a fantastic season. Go get him, but at a reasonable cost. Since Helsley is throwing again, he's hoping to be back in a few weeks. Next, I see Jack Perkins, also in Sacramento. 91% rostership on Perkins, but he's not the A's closer either. Nobody is. Hogan Harris got a save last night. The A's have four different pitchers with three or four saves. Perkins is the best pitcher of the four, which includes Joel Kunnel, Mark Leiter Jr., Hogan Harris. But this is a very fluid matchup-based bullpen. We don't need to spend fab dollars going for whichever guy got the last save. But if you're going to roster anyone from Sacramento, you can make it Perkins at a cheap cost. All right, now here's an interesting situation. On the list now, we have Jeff Hoffman in Toronto. He's still rostered on 52% of OCs. Louis Varland pitched on Tuesday and Wednesday. So did Tyler Rogers. But neither were used yesterday in a close game. Tied in the ninth, Jeff Hoffman allowed a walk-off run for a loss. And now we have reports that Adam Macko has a locker in Toronto, so it's possible that either Rogers or Varland wasn't used due to some kind of injury. So if, and this is a big if, we learn that Louis Varland is hurt and he's out, then Hoffman becomes a really solid addition this weekend. John Schneider simply likes him. And without Varland, Hoffman would probably get save chances. If it's Tyler Rogers out instead, or neither of those two is injured, it's someone else, we don't need to add Hoffman in that case. All right, I see Ryan Walker next at 26%. Let's go ahead and get that to zero. He's in AAA. Dennis Santana in Pittsburgh. He is 68% rostered. Santana's velocity is down. His ERA is on the way up. Gregory Soto has taken the primary ninth inning role. If there's an option on your waiver wire that is getting saves right now, you can drop Dennis Santana. I would understand those wanting to hold him, but I'm certainly not trying to add him right now. All right, now I'm going to lump together two guys in San Francisco. That's Caleb Killian and Eric Miller. Killian is at 62% rostered. Miller's only 7. Now, Killian is having a great year so far. He seems to have overtaken Keaton Wynn, which makes him the top righty in that bullpen. And that's a good place to be for saves. Though the Giants have produced few save chances, right now Killian is in a position to get the majority of those, and his ownership number should probably be higher. Now, Eric Miller is supposed to return from the IL today. I think he'll be in the mix for saves as well, but being left-handed is what works against him, so he can just be towards the bottom of bidding queues at a low cost. Now, I'll finish up with the bullpen of the LA Angels. We see Kirby Yates at 48% owned. He's really nothing more than a stash at the moment. He pitched in the seventh inning yesterday, though he did strike out Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts. He still only topped out about around 91 miles per hour. So he's not back to even last year's velocity. He could still emerge as a saves option, maybe even the closer. But that will take some time if it happens at all. Right now, the best bet in that bullpen, probably Ryan Zephyrjohn, who's on 38% of teams. But Ben Joyce does lurk on his rehab assignment. When he's back, he could just make this even more complicated situation. So it looks like we're on time, actually, rather than having a slightly longer episode. There were a lot of names to mention, but we got through them. We seem to have very few strong options this weekend. Though for a quick review of those, here's our special guest for today. It's the Red Fox Roto Kid, Henry. So, Henry, who are the best options we have this weekend?
Well, first, before I say thank you for having me here, I think I've done this before once, right?
Yep. You were on a couple episodes last year, but it's the 2026 debut. So who are the best ads this weekend, Henry?
Well, probably Emilio Pagan.
Emilio Pagan, yeah. Okay.
Trevor McGill. Rico Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Killian. Caleb Killian, sorry. Yep. And Jeff Hoffman if Louis Varland is hurt.
Yeah, if Louis Varland is hurt, Jeff Hoffman would be a pretty good ad this week. So thank you, Henry.
You're welcome.
Well, that's a wrap for today. So good luck to everyone out there on your weekend fab bids. This has been the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Henry, take it away.